Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively coming back from Chicago with victory. It was a beautiful Sunday afternoon of very, very boring football with a backup quarterback until it got really exciting, Luke Jones, did it not? And this week, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We're going to be up in Harford County on Black Friday on Friday. And I tell you what, we're going to be at Conrad's. We're going to have Harford County Executive Barry Glassman join us, all courtesy of the Maryland Lottery. And we're going to have a happy Thanksgiving because we want, right? Better turkey for everybody.
No question about it. I mean, when you consider you wake up Sunday morning and Lamar Jackson's inactive, you look at how terrible everything felt for most of the day, and by the end of business on Sunday, the Ravens come away with a win. They move up in the AFC hierarchy, and somehow, some way, they're 7-3. And I mean, you hear in the post game from John Harbaugh and company about resiliency and faith and never blinking. I mean, the word that comes to mind for me with this team at this point, look, what this means in the big picture, who knows at this point. This team has issues. There's no question about it. Many of the issues that they've had all year reared their head over the course of Sunday's game without Lamar Jackson there to bail them out. But they're survivors. I mean, they just and isn't that what the AFC and the NFL is all about at this point? When you're seeing Tennessee losing at home to the Houston Texans, you're seeing the Buffalo Bills get walloped in Orchard Park by Indianapolis. You just see the results over and over. New Orleans loses to Philadelphia over in the NFC, and the Ravens just figured it out. And look, there was very little impressive about it. I mean, the offense did not move the ball particularly well. They wait until the final minute to reach the end zone. They needed a pass interference and a busted coverage that Tyler Huntley finds Sammy Watkins. And credit to Huntley, and we'll talk about him, but there was very little impressive about it from a big picture standpoint in terms of statistics and moving the ball and yards per play and all these different things you can point to, but they got the win. And when you look at how the AFC is shaping up every single week, and yeah, the Ravens were guilty of that last week against Miami. They fell to the Dolphins, but they are doing a better job surviving than anyone in the AFC. You know, throw the Titans in there. I mean, they lost Derrick Henry. You know, they lost on Sunday, but you know, they're sitting there with the same number of losses as the Ravens. It's absolutely remarkable. And again, I don't know what that means in terms of going forward now that they're playing a winning team every single week through the end of the season, but boy, they survive. And that's something that should not be taken for granted in an NFL where we say every single week, we don't know what the hell's going on, you know, on any given Sunday. It's just absolutely wild, but the Ravens are 7-3.
All right. Well, the tightrope part of this, and, you know, I'm sitting in front of Harbaugh in Chicago on Sunday, and I'm thinking, like, he's talking about God, and he's talking about the backup quarterback, and he's talking about faith, and he's talking about and I'm thinking to myself, the tightrope they walk every week, it's good fortune more than anything else. And you talk about the bad things that happened. The bad things that happened, the ball went over their head. They missed tackles again. It's the big play thing we talk about all the time, or some sort of big mistake. And to both of our point, every week we're picking on the other team, right? Whether it's Bengals bungling or whether it's Andy Dalton being a bungle who was a Bengal who's now a Bear, and it's bad being a Bears fan, or whether it's the Lions or, you know, some of these sort of woebegone Charlie Brown. There you go, a little Thanksgiving reference here. A little Charlie Brown, you know, somebody's going to pull the football out from underneath them, and that the Bears certainly feel like that kind of franchise. But there was something about a backup quarterback on Sunday and the way it kind of all went down and how disjointed it looked. It looked like they may have stayed at the casino a little too long.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you can look at it and say they've been really fortunate in game, but then you say in terms of the injuries and the fact that Lamar Jackson doesn't even play Sunday, they've been really unlucky when you look at it from that standpoint. But we've talked about it. I mean, we've talked about this all year long. You go through the schedule, you know, starting in week one, a game that was a loss that could have been a win, but go down the list, Kansas City, Detroit, Indianapolis, the Minnesota game that goes to overtime. I mean, these are all games, and of course, Sunday. I mean, no better example than Sunday when you look at what happened on fourth down. Andy Dalton doing it to them again on fourth down, you know, with an ode back to Tyler Boyd in 2017 and really kind of the end of the Joe Flacco era, so to speak, you know, first nine games of 2008 notwithstanding. But know, they've been one play or just a couple plays here or there away from, you know, the difference of 7-3 and being, I don't know, 4-6, 3-7. Yeah. And now, granted, you're not going to be unlucky every single game either. You know, but you look at it, you look at that many games where it's a one score game and it comes down to the final minute and you can literally point to one play one way or the other that it swings. And you look at the point differential and you go through all the different metrics and analytics. And, you know, I've mentioned DVOA and, you know, different things you'll see on different football nerd sites. And there's a lot about this team that doesn't really meet 7-3. But that's where I said, normally, up until this week, you said, what? They're relying on the heroics of Lamar Jackson, but he wasn't there on Sunday. And that's where you do give these guys a ton of credit. I get it. It's the Bears, and the Bears did a lot of bear-like things to lose that football game in the same way the Ravens did some 2021 Raven-like things to potentially lose that game, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, two huge plays that lead to touchdowns. But I said it. I mean, it's what I'm going to, you know, what I'm writing at BaltimorePositive.com. This team just has a knack for surviving. And that sounds like it's a backhanded compliment, right? You know, it kind of sounds like it's, you know, damning with faint praise. But I really do mean it as a credit to them that so much of this league, and you'll hear coaches talk about this, that there are more games in this league that are lost than that are won. And it's a great example of seeing what the Ravens have been able to do to, you know, looking like they're going to lose some football games, but the other team ultimately blinks a little bit harder at the end, but be in position to take advantage of an opportunity. And they've done that. And I don't know what that means moving forward now as we get into these final seven games. And, you know, we talked about these three games coming out of the bye. And now, you know, you have Cleveland, you have Pittsburgh, you have Cleveland again, Green Bay, Cincinnati, Los Angeles, Pittsburgh. I mean, that's a more difficult run of games than they've had all season long, but they're 7-3, and those seven wins are in the bank right now. And that's more than Buffalo. That's more than Indianapolis. That's certainly more than anyone else in the AFC North right now. When you consider how Cleveland and Cincinnati win, and if you lose this game, they're right on your heels going into what's going to be a huge Sunday night game against the Browns. But yeah, they're figuring out somehow, some way. And you mentioned it. Yeah, there's been some good in-game luck involved there, but they keep themselves in a position to take advantage of that luck. Whereas, you know, you see other teams every week. You know, the Ravens tripped up against the Dolphins. There's no question about that. And we talked about that all week. But you look at some of these other teams that have had multiple losses where you just scratch your head and say, wait a second, I thought the Bills were good. Wait a second, I thought Tennessee was good. You know, you look at the Titans now, they've lost to the Jets and the Texans this year. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, right? So we keep coming back to this whole narrative of, especially the AFC, but really the entire NFL, making little sense week to week and trying to figure out, you know, if there's any rhyme or reason or if there are any great teams. And that's going to be determined over the next 7 weeks as we get into the end of the regular season and then who's left standing to advance into mid-January with the postseason. But you've got seven wins under your belt. I'm guessing the way this thing has been going to this point in the season, it's not going to take going 14-3 in the AFC North to win it. So that's where you look at this thing right now and say, with all their issues, they're finding ways to win. They're surviving in some tough circumstances, which it doesn't get any more difficult than what they dealt with without their star being on the field. And they figured it out. And yeah, if you're playing a team better than the Bears on Sunday, you're most likely losing, but they didn't. So that's where you know, as I kind of joked and put it up on Twitter, I was reminded of, you know, that scene of Forrest Gump running, you know, so trying to run so fast. You know, the Ravens are just running back to Baltimore with a victory on Sunday. And you know, as ugly as it looked at times, most of the game, quite frankly, they were left standing at the end. And it's just what they've been able to do all year in a season that has made very little sense.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke and Luke at WNST.net. All of our Ravens coverage brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. I want to get out of Chicago real quickly, although I did bring some pizza back with me. Luke, let's talk about the backup quarterback, and let's talk about John Harbaugh's week, and let's talk about the plane ride out there where players gather, they get on the plane, they see Lamar sick. Marlon Humphrey talked about that Sunday morning, waking up and feeling like, you know, is he going to play? Somebody texted me, David Katz texted me on Saturday night, my pal from Fox Sports, and I think he's out here in Chicago. Is Lamar going to play? And I'm like, yeah, he's going to play. You know what I mean? Like, if I were a gambling guy, if people were asking me for advice, not that they do such a thing, but you don't think your quarterback's not going to play. I mean, I would say over the history of the Ravens franchise, and I guess I'm going back to 1996, I remember very few instances where starting football players on the team have a flu bug on a Sunday morning and hang around and don't, for whatever reason, play that day because they get sick. Usually IVs, docs, they figure out a way to get a player onto the field. I guess that's why we were all so taken aback. And I think you could tell from Harbaugh's reaction in the post game, he was kind of shocked by it too, right? Like, yeah, I don't think you prepare for this. Although if you have prepared for it, Wednesday and Thursday, he went out and threw the ball around and ran first team. So it's as good a preparation as you can get for a kid that's been in the program for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, you just said it. There is no silver lining when Lamar Jackson doesn't play. I mean, let's throw that out there. I mean, that's obvious, right? That's the no duh kind of comment there. But
yeah, you're not Lamar, but go out and try to be.
Right. I mean, this wasn't a case where he woke up, at the very least, this wasn't the case where he woke up Sunday morning and was just sick. And there was no sign of this whatsoever. I mean, we mentioned it. He missed practice. You know, he missed the walkthrough on Tuesday. He missed practice on Wednesday. He missed practice on Thursday. But it's odd from the standpoint of he came back Friday. He practiced fully to the point where they didn't even give him a game designation. He spoke to the media after Friday's practice. I mean, we asked Lamar about, you know, the Miami game. We asked him about his trip to Louisville where he had his number retired last weekend, and he seemed fine. He was in good spirits. He seemed his normal self, energetic. And as I said, and you know how their injury report works, Ness. I mean, they list guys as questionable that really aren't questionable at all. So the fact that they didn't even list him on Friday's injury report made it clear that, all right, he's out of the woods in the same way that Bradley Bozeman missed practice earlier in the week with this virus or whatever illness that's been going around. Rashad Bateman missed practice on Thursday, but he was back on Friday, no problem. So, you know, he wasn't the only guy who had been sick. There were a couple other guys, on the practice squad and you know, the 53-man roster that had kind of been under the weather at a couple points over the course of the week. But you know, for him to come in Saturday when they do their walkthrough and he's not feeling great and the Ravens add him to the injury report. Okay. They've added guys on a Saturday and you say, all right, he's listed as questionable.
By the way, I was calling bollocks on that, just so you know. Like, when I saw it on Saturday, I'm like, oh, that's just John playing a game to, you know, continue the game from Wednesday and Thursday. There's so much of that going on in the league, and I think that's what makes gambling so hard. I mean, if you really want to talk about the upshot of all of this, is people were hitting me because, hey, should I gamble on them? Should I gamble against them? And that used to be taboo to even discuss any of that. Now that's like a real thing. That if I, as a media member, text Eric DaCosta on Sunday morning and say, hey, is Lamar really sick or is he not really sick? Now, all of a sudden, the information part of it, when it's Lamar, not when it's some cornerback or is a running back going to start or is Hollywood Brown going to be there, that all affects, nothing affects Las Vegas like Lamar Jackson not playing at 11:30 when that is sent out. And I mean, that's just something, certainly from an informational standpoint, where these injury reports are and the credibility of them and the integrity of them, because we know there was always hokey pokey going on, that now with the gambling part of this, it becomes even more fascinating. And I know you're not a gambler and I'm not either, but you do know that nothing moves the needle quite like that, you know?
Sure, but just because the NFL's embracing, I mean, the injury report has been there for years, and that's always been tied to gambling indirectly, you know, as far as people talking about that. But I thought it was legitimate on Saturday because, you know, you would have listed him as questionable on Friday if you're trying to play games. You know, he wasn't even on there. And the fact that they did that, but the real telling thing, Ness, was they had listed, keep in mind, they had ruled out three players on Friday's injury report. Pernell McPhee, who went to IR on Saturday, and he's out for at least the next three games. Miles Boykin and Brandon Williams. They listed 10 players as questionable. Now, were all 10 of those guys truly questionable? No. But But there were certainly guys that were hurt, and a few of those guys ended up not playing on Sunday in addition to Lamar. I mean, Marquise Brown, who was downgraded on Saturday, which means he didn't travel. That's why he's downgraded. That's an NFL rule. If you're listed as questionable or doubtful, but you don't travel, they must rule you out then. They can't say that you have a chance of playing if you're not in that city the night before and all that. So that's where that came from. But the big key with all those players being questionable and guys like Anthony Averett and Jimmy Smith ultimately not even playing after being listed as questionable, you get two practice squad elevations. The Ravens used one to bring up Trace McSorley. That right there told you that there was some legitimate non-zero chance that Lamar Jackson wasn't going to play. Now, I think they were still just hoping it was going to be precautionary and Lamar's going to wake up fine Sunday morning and then McSorley would have been inactive and Tyler Huntley would have been the backup and you go on. But the fact that they made that move when there were so many other players banged up, if you've seen, and we've talked about this, the Ravens have played with 50 guys on the 53-man roster some weeks just to preserve cap space and knowing they had practice squad elevations and all that. They don't waste roster spots. So the fact that they elevated McSorley on Saturday told me, all right, this is completely legitimate. Anyone that's thinking, all right, maybe they're just using some gamesmanship, that right there told me, no, there's some real question there. So, I mean, it's unusual. There's certainly, and I saw some people tying this into, well, he's had COVID twice. Is there some complication there? I mean, I'll remind everyone, Lamar Jackson missed practice for an illness the week of his first NFL start. I don't know what the deal is. I don't want to speculate about the kid's health. Everyone gets sick from time to time, you know, not talking about COVID just in general, but he does have a history that he's missed practices before. But I think what made this so unusual was he seemed to be fine on Friday. And again, the media like me that were there on a Friday afternoon saw him with our own eyes. He looked fine and he looked to be in good spirits, but he woke up Saturday and, you know, had a little bit of a setback, whatever it was. I mean, they've tested him for COVID multiple times. They've tested him for flu. Whatever has been going through the Ravens locker room that did knock out a couple other guys for a practice earlier in the week, Bradley Bozeman being one of them. He just wasn't, for whatever reason, did not bounce back right. So again, I don't want to speculate beyond that. I think it's irresponsible to speculate, you know, whether you're talking about COVID or, you know, diet or whatever it might be. They didn't have him Sunday. And certainly, that's less than ideal, but you have to give Tyler Huntley a lot of credit. I mean, this is a kid who was a undrafted free agent last year, did not get to play in the preseason last year, has played in a handful of games in relief, including the Buffalo playoff loss. But, you know, he came in and he played, for the most part, really nice, efficient football. He made mistakes, and you know, Mark Andrews made a couple great catches, and he made some mistakes, and you can look at some times where he held the ball or made the wrong read or whatever, but that's going to happen with a young quarterback.
Well, he didn't throw the ball well. He didn't throw the ball well, and that's a time – there's a lot going into that. There's guys in the league that don't throw the ball well every week to play.
Well, but I'd also say I agree that he didn't throw the ball incredibly well. But he still went 26 of 36 for 219 yards. There are guys around the league where you say they don't throw the ball well, and it looks like 5 of 19, you know, talking about a backup quarterback specifically, 5 of 19, and they throw two or three picks. I mean, even the pick he threw, yeah, that was more bad fortune, and Mark Andrews didn't hold on to the ball. You know,
well, let's be honest, the running game stunk too. I mean, you know, that's part of
they struggled.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, Nestor. I mean, this is a team that struggled to move the ball with Lamar Jackson a week ago. And look, I mean, the Dolphins, give them credit. And they had a great game plan. But this is a team that, while their entire body of work still looks really good offensively, we know they've struggled on third down. They've struggled especially third and long. You know, they've struggled to start games fast. I mean, they've had, you know, been a notoriously slow starter. Whereas 2 years ago, all we talked about was the fact that it would be 14-0 before fans would finish their first beer in the stands. I mean, you know, they've had their issues. So yeah, I wasn't surprised to see those issues carry over. And you can say what you want and say, yeah, Bears defense that's not very good, but no Khalil Mack, no Akeem Hicks. You know, they were missing some key guys. I mean, you're talking about a former defensive player of the year there that went on IR on Friday for the Bears. But, you know, Huntley gets sacked. You know, the offensive line did not play well. You know, the running game got some tough yards at times, but certainly was not robust. And, well, that's going to end up, you know, you're going to have 9 points going into your final drive and three field goals and needing, you know, let's face it, wasn't maybe not a miracle. And certainly you could chalk it up to, you know, some ineptitude from the Bears, but you know, that was a low win probability scenario where they were able to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. And that's where you give them a lot of credit. And I think the biggest thing that you like about Huntley, for as much as you can talk about, you know, mistakes here and there and, you know, his throws not always being on target, and it was a lot of throws behind the line of scrimmage and short, you know, which you would kind of expect with a guy making his first NFL start, but he had a lot of composure though. You know, I mean, it did not, there were few instances over the course of Sunday's game where you'd say, boy, this looks way too big for him. Where you think about just to last year, the COVID game in Pittsburgh, we talked about it. Robert Griffin III looked like a guy, even though he was in his ninth year in the NFL, eighth or ninth year in the NFL, he looked like someone who'd never played in an NFL game before. And we said at the time, probably played his way out of the league. Tyler Huntley was composed and at the very least looked like he belonged from the standpoint of, you know, just not being too high, not being too low, not making catastrophic mistakes. And frankly, Nestor, that's, you can't ask much more than that from your backup quarterback. I mean, unless you have
all right in the history of the game, when we take backup quarterbacks and your guy is going to start, not just chances of winning, but chances of him looking confused, overmatched, fumbling the ball, throwing the ball in bad places, just you know, confusion issues out of the huddle where guys are running the wrong way or there's miscommunication. That didn't happen. I mean, no. You know what I mean? Now, that being said, the offensive line's no good. The running game's not very good. They're missing wide receivers, blah, 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 you know, down the line. But they did what they need. To your point, resiliency. They're resilient.
They survived. And, I mean, again, you look at this game in terms of the Bills losing, the Titans losing. So there you go in terms of the hierarchy. I mean, the Ravens win. I mean, suddenly New England's looking like a very legitimate team in the AFC. Now, Kansas City, don't look now. Here come the Chiefs. But you look at the fact that Cincinnati and Cleveland both won. And if the Ravens drop this game, I mean, those teams are right on their heels then. And, you know, they're going to be playing Pittsburgh in a couple weeks as well. So it was that element of survival where they were able to stay in place, right? I mean, they won, but they didn't take a step back, right? I mean, that that's huge. That's so huge. And this year, especially in the AFC, where, again, style points, did we really learn anything magical about the Ravens on Sunday? I mean, okay, maybe you feel better about Tyler Huntley. I think that's fair, you know, because he had never played in a, you know, where he was the guy starting. But, you know, other than that, same issues with the defense, same issues with the offense, but they figured out a way to win. And you know what? A critic could say, well, the Ravens maybe only played one of the seven teams in the league they could have played on Sunday without Lamar Jackson and won. And you want to say that, fine, but well, it worked out that way and they won. And for a team that has as many players as they have on IR and as much adversity as they've gone through in that way. Yeah. You know, they're not going to apologize for, you know, some good in-game fortune or a break in the schedule or what have you, when you consider the all pros and Pro Bowl caliber players they have sitting on IR right now. All that money on their salary cap, that's not going towards winning on Sundays right now for them. So no, they're not going to apologize for the fact that maybe they were a little fortunate to be playing the Chicago Bears on Sunday.
All praise to the 7-3 Baltimore Ravens. I'm headed back from Chicago. We'll be in Baltimore all week. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. On Friday, we'll be celebrating the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. You know, I got to learn some crab cake stuffing or something here, Luke. I'm figuring it out. But on Friday, we're going to have a crab cake at Conrad's up in Abingdon with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'm going to be playing all week. Holiday week, weird game next week. Got a night game on Sunday night as well. We're resting up. Luke and I will come back and we'll beat the defense up a little bit. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Taos in Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore sports from Chicago.